Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult. That's a good one. How many other hits by Blue Oyster Cult can you name? I can't.
One of them has Christopher Walken, I'm sure.
Yeah. Something tells me Andy Greeter can name one more hit by Blue Oyster Cult. Andy, joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Do you know anything else that Blue Oyster Cult has sang other than Don't Fear the Reaper?
Sorry, Dave. I can't help you out of it.
Andy, thanks for joining us. What a great win last night for the Gophers, but I want to go back to that late chance to go for it on fourth down. And yeah. I'm sure PJ was asked about this last night. To me, it seemed I was standing up and yelling at the television to go for it. I wanted it. I was glad that he did it. But yeah. I have to admit, it seemed a little bit un-PJ like from what I've seen of him. What was this thought process into going for it?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, Gopher fans for the better part of his eight seasons here at Minnesota have longed for him to be more aggressive in big moments, to be more aggressive early in games, to be more aggressive against better competition. And he delivered in a huge moment there. I think his thought process was, you know, when you have half an inch to beat USC is really what it came down to. And he looked at it at, you know, if we don't get it here, then USC has to go, you know, 70 yards to get in field goal range. He felt like he needed to put his team in the best position to put USC behind the eight ball. And a touchdown was going to be able to do that, just given what USC can do through the air and what we saw in them driving before Corey Parrish's interception. So he really, kind of flipped the script on what he usually does, and it produced their first win against a ranked team at home since 2021.
Andy, I want to say I heard someone this week in one of the interviews, and I heard something that I had not heard before out of a Gopher player, and he said something to the effect of sometimes you have to pass to set up the run. But that goes very contrary to what we've seen in years past. However, yesterday it was very much a run to set up the pass. How good, right. And I want to talk about the offensive line, because I thought both running and passing, they were just outstanding last night.
Yeah, it's been a theme kind of since preseason camp. PJ Fleck has mentioned it dating back to August about throwing to set up the run, and that's mm-hmm. something that you saw in Max Brosner through the first five games. And I think part of that was the Gophers' inability to run the ball. And that kind of necessitated going to Max through the air in the short intermediate passing game, check downs to running backs, some screen game type stuff. But I think, you know, Southern Cal showed an inability to stop the run. You know, Michigan, I think, almost rushed for 300 yards in their loss in the Big House 2 weeks ago. I don't really think that USC has a great front seven. And I think the Gophers saw that as well. They wanted to establish the run a little bit more against Michigan last week, but weren't able to against what's maybe one of the best D-lines in the Big Ten, maybe the country. But they were able to do so very much so last night. Darius Taylor had a season-high 144 yards. He ran very angry, I felt like, and was very decisive in cuts and was very impressive. And, yeah, I think it was kind of a role reversal, and I think it was a credit to what the offensive line and the tight ends were able to do in opening holes for Darius.
How is this kid picked up the running back position so well? He was a wide receiver in high school, right? They come in, they change him to a running back, and he's outstanding. He's shifty. He's low center to the ground. He's strong. How has he picked this up so quickly?
Yeah, well, he was playing some running back in high school, but he had started his high school career as a wide receiver. So it wasn't his first time playing running back when he came to the Gophers. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think what they've been able to do this year is really incorporate him in the passing game. I think he had 10 receptions at Michigan. He had 5 for 56 yesterday. So he's kind of a complete running back now, and I think people are seeing it. He's been able to stay healthy, too, you know, kind of knock on wood for the Gophers. Obviously, last year through September, he was leading the Big Ten in rushing, and he's starting to come in to kind of find that groove again here in October this year.
I am struggling. Andy Greeter joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're talking some Gopher football. I am struggling to figure out what this team is because you look at their record and they're 3-3, but they are one field goal away from a win earlier in the season. That call last week would have given them another shot. They had momentum. This team does not scream 3-3 to me. Who is this team, Andy, as we're going forward?
Yeah, I think we're still finding out who they are. I think, you know, they're at the halfway point of the year, so there's a whole second half to figure out what they are. You know, I think PJ Fleck said before the game yesterday he felt like they're the best 2-3 team in the country, and I think to your point, given the number of close games and their inability to get out of their own way at times, I think that was the biggest thing yesterday. Is they didn't have the self-inflicted errors along the offensive line. They were pretty strong in pre-snap penalties. They didn't miss nearly the same amount of tackles as they missed in, say, the Iowa game or the North Carolina game. So they've been able to clean things up and get out of their own way and play. You know, yesterday was a full 60 minutes, which is something that was lacking in this team, you know, in the second half against North Carolina and Iowa and the first half against Michigan.
So now they play, it's UCLA next week, UCLA not having the greatest season for them, certainly. But I want to talk to you really quick before we let you go, Andy, about Coy Parrish and just how incredible he is. Big interception last night. I forget sometimes that this kid is a freshman. He's amazing, and hopefully we get 4 years of him. But him being back there, and talk about how much that can help, because – you know, sometimes we saw it last night, Miller Moss had to hang onto the ball a little bit more, and then the pass rush gets to him. So that ability to have that just ball-hawking guy in the backfield in the secondary.
Yeah, I'd probably say 3 years, given the pace he is, right? He's probably early in the NFL. But, yeah, just an incredibly dynamic player who has taken every single step and exceeded the expectations. You know, he was on the opening kickoff against North Carolina to start the year, and then became the punt returner in non-conference play. Obviously had that huge 60-yard return last week against Michigan to aid that comeback. Had a game-sealing interception at the end of the game, but he also had a nice hit to force a fumble earlier in the game to kill a USC drive. And he says he doesn't even really remember that play. He felt like he missed the tackle. So this guy's making plays even when he thinks he's not. You know, I asked PJ Fleck if Coy might be a guy that can play on offense, and he said, you know, it's definitely a possibility. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens at some point, just because he's so dynamic. When he has the ball in his hands, you just know that something special is going to happen, and that's something that we've seen through six games. A guy who's 18 years old, a guy who didn't join the program since June, just comes in with aplomb and just hits the ground running and kind of brings out comparisons to Antoine Winfield Jr. And they're not crazy to say that just because of the way he ball hawks back there. That last day was his first extended time playing safety, and he looked like a veteran. He looked like an upperclassman, and that just goes to his talent and his, you know, precociousness.
I want to ask you really quick before we let you go, Andy. Maverick Baranowski didn't play last night. He's leading the team with tackles going into the game. Do we know the timeline for him when he might be back?
No, it didn't look like he was kind of. It didn't look like there was an obvious injury to his body when we saw him pregame. I think that, you know, obviously they want to get him back. I think Devin Williams had some rough moments last night. Obviously, had the interception stepping in for Baranowski. I think, you know, you wanted him back, but Cody Lindenberg's really the leader in that linebacking group. And there were other players at other spots that had to step up as well. Devin Eastern, their nose tackle, he left the game. Jalen Logan Redding, their three technique, he also left the game. So they were on backups and right through the middle at all three levels, if you include Coy Parrish in the back. So the Gophers were able to stitch it together yesterday and pull off a huge upset win.
Great win for them. Andy, thanks so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate your time, man.
Yep, thank you. Take care.
Andy Greeter, Gopher beat writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, does a fantastic job talking a little Gopher football.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.